All right, so the shir tonight is on Parshas Bahaloscha, and the shir is on the appointment of the Levim. Trying to analyze some of the ideas that we can gain from this, the nature of this process. So let's go through the psukim themselves. In source number one, Parak Ches, it says, "Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor." So Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, "Kach es alavim mitoch bnei Yisrael v'tiarta osam." So Hashem says to Moshe to take the Levim from amongst Bnei Yisrael and to cleanse them, to make them tahor. V'chus aseh lehem l'taharam, hazeh lehem mechatos, v'haviru sa'ar al kol b'saram, v'chibsu b'gdehem, v'hitaharu. And this is how you're going to make the Levim tahor. You're going to sprinkle on them this water, v'haviru sa'ar al kol b'saram, and they have to shave their whole body, all the hair on their body, and they'll wash their clothes, and they'll become tahor. V'lachup har ben bakar, minchaso solos b'lula b'shamen, v'farshini ben bakar tikach l'chatas. And then the Levim, after they go through this tahara process, and they shave their bodies, and they also clean their clothes, so after that they bring a korban, two korbanos. V'kravtas ha-Levim lifnei ohel moed, v'hikaltas kladas b'nei Yisrael. Then the Levim are brought to the Ohel Moed, to the Mishkan, and all of Bnei Yisrael are surrounded and gathered to see this. V'kravtas Levim lifnei Hashem b'samchu Bnei Yisrael sedehem al Levim. So after Levim are brought to the Ohel Moed, so the Bnei Yisrael they did smicha, they put their hands on the Levim. V'heinif Aaron es Levim tnufal lifnei Hashem es Bnei Yisrael v'hayu la'avodas avodas Hashem. Then after that, Aaron, he waves them, he does this tnufa with the Levim themselves. And then it keeps going. So up to this point, just to summarize, there's a lot of psukim. So basically, there's a whole process for the Levim coming into their job as Levim. And the first part is that the Levim shave, they become tahor, the mechatas is sprinkled on them. Then they bring a korban, and they're brought to, in front of the Mishkan. Once they're brought there, so the next thing is smicha. All of Klal Yisrael, they put their hands on the Levim. And then there's tenufa, where Aaron, he waves them like a korban. Then the Levim do smicha on their korbanos. And then once again, we see another tenufa, a second time, where Aaron, he waves the Levim, he picks them up and waves them like a korban. And then there's one more tenufa. Then afterwards, there's another instance where tenufa is mentioned, which we'll see in Rashi what that means. And then he explains what the whole idea of the Levim are. So the Levim were taken instead of the Bechors. Because Hashem says that by Makos Bechoros, Hashem was really in charge of, or he has possession over the Bechors, and he made them Kadosh to him, and therefore he can switch the Kedusha. So Levim were exchanged, or were the trade in, or the Bechors were traded in for the Levim. And then the last pasuk here that we're going to read is that the Levim were given over to the Kohanim. They were supposed to serve with the Kohanim, and serve the Kohanim, but they were there in order to prevent a plague amongst Klal Yisrael and to protect Klal Yisrael. Also provide kapara. So this whole, all these psukim from pasuk hey to pasuk yates, it goes through like an interesting process by the Levim, whereby there's at first the Levim have to shave, which is interesting. Why do they have to shave their bodies? That's one question. And then what's this idea of smicha on the part of all of Klal Yisrael? And then lastly, this idea of tenufa. So there's three parts. There's three main parts to this process of making the Levim into the Levim. Originally, it was supposed to be the Bechors, the firstborns. But the Levim are zocha to this position, and the idea is that there were several components as to how they became the Levim instead of the Bechors. So you have to understand. I want to gain some insight into, you know, what the nature of this process is. What do each what does each idea in the process mean? What's it trying to teach us? And why do we need such a complex system in order that the Levium become the Levium that we know them as? You know, why don't we just appoint them the Levium? Why do we have this whole Korban Tanufa, shaving their bodies, Tahara? Like, what's the idea of all these steps? Why can't it just be that poof, Moshe says, now you're the Levium instead of the Bechors? So it should be much simpler. But the Torah is presenting a very complex method of making them into Levium. So that's really what I want to focus on in the Shir, what the idea is of the Levium doing all these steps in the process. So the first part is the idea of them shaving and becoming Tahor. So if we look at Rabbeinu Bachya in source number 2, this is going to be the first idea that I wanted to share in the Shir. It says in Rabbeinu Bachya on Pasuk Zayin, V'chus ha'aseh lehem l'tarom hazeh lehem mechatas. Shel efer para of the para duma, it was the ash of the para duma. V'haya zeh mipnei tamei mesim shebehem. So the reason why the Levium had to become Tahor is because they had a din of tamei mes. When did they become tamei mes? Shehargu v'oseh ha'egel. Because they killed those who had done the egel. So Levium, after the egel occurred, the Levium were involved in destroying all those who committed the idolatry of the ego. It says that each man killed their brethren, killed their friends. So that's one idea. So one idea we see is that the reason why they had to become Tahor is because they had a din, Tamei Mes, and the idea of a din, the din Tamei Mes was from the fact that they had killed all the worshippers of the ego. So we're gonna come back to the Rabbeinu Bachya to the next point, but the question is there more significance to this idea of them being tamei mes because they killed by the egel? So of course there is. So where do we know in Parshas Eikev? I didn't bring in the Pesukim in Parshas Eikev, but I brought the Pesukim in Shemos. Where were the Levium actually zocha to be Levium? Where did they merit to be Levium? So from the experience of destroying and killing everybody who committed idolatry, who committed avodah zarah by the ego. So I wanted to understand that idea a little bit further. So if you look in source number 3, in Shmos Perak Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chav Ches, it says, Vayasu b'nei Levi kidvar Moshe, Vayipol min ha'am bayom ahu kishloshes alfei ish. So after the ego, Moshe says, Mila Hashem Eli, whoever's for Hashem, come with me, and you have to destroy these people. So the B'nai Levi, they listened to Moshe, and they killed 3,000 people, 3,000 men. Vayomer Moshe, milu yadchem hayom l'Hashem ki ish bivno v'achiv l'aseis aleichem hayom beracha. So Moshe says to Levium, fill up your hands today, because each man with their children and their brethren, and v'aseis aleichem, to give to you a bracha. So this is a reference and Shemos to the idea that the Levium at this point were zocha to the job that they had ultimately in Klal Yisrael of being the Levium. But the question is why? What is it about this event that really made them into the Levium and really was mezakeh them to become the Levium in this that's expressed in this week's Parsha? So I just wanted to explain that idea, but if look at Rashi in source number 4, he even goes further. So Rashi in Shemos, he says, Milu yedchem, atem ha'chor gimosam, bidvar zeh, techanchu lios kohanim l'makom. So he says that you're the ones, you who killed them, who killed the idolaters by the egel azav. So through this experience, you will be mechanech, which means that you will be taught, chinuch lios kohanim l'makom, in order to be kohanim, priests to Hashem. Ki ish Mikem yimalei yado b'vno v'achiv. Because it says here that each one of you open up or fill up your hands b'vno v'achiv, with your son and with your brother. So what does that mean? Just want to explain. What does that mean? Rashi says that the Hariga, the fact that the Levium were involved in the Hariga, itself was a chinuch to become Kohanim l'makom. So how, in what sense was the Hariga itself the chinuch, the teaching, the experience of killing other people, other worshippers of the egel, how is that mechanech them? How did that that teach them and bring them up to become the Kohanim l'makom? So if you look in look in the Sifzei Chachamim, look in source number 5, he just explains Rashi, says, Pirish, Mitzchilayo Bechorim Kohanim Amakom. So the Bechorim were originally defined as the Kohanim. Ukeshechatu be'egel, but when they were chotem in the egel, they krivu korban la'akum, and they brought a korban to Avodah Zarah. Hargu osam, they were killed. The attempt to tachtam kohan l'makom, the levim will be instead of the bechors. Va'amar tischanchu, it means tischanchu, become like taught, learn ki milu yad more alachinuch kishenichnas l'davar. It's when you teach somebody, milu yadchem is a reference to the idea of teaching somebody a new skill or a new action, new performance. Lios muchzak mioso yom bahala ki deperish Rashi, to be muchzak, to be promoted or to in this position from now on. So in Shemos, by the Egal Zahav, we learn that the Levim were Zocha instead of the Bechors, because the Bechors were involved in the Avodah Zarah of the Egal, and the Levim killed everybody. So the Levim were supposed to use that as a chinuch l'makom, chinuch to be kohanim l'makom. So in what sense was killing all these people, that's my question, in what sense was killing all these people chinuch to be kohanim l'makom? And furthermore, why did the Bechors really lose their status as Levim because of the Egal? What is it about the Egal? Was it simply that it was Avodah Zarah? Or was there more to the idea of the Egel and their performance and their involvement in the Egel that caused them to lose their status as Bechors, as really the ones who were supposed to serve Hashem on a higher level? So those are the questions. So I just want to take up one last point, and then we'll get to the first, hopefully the first Svar of this year. So if you look in source number 6 in the Sforno says, Milu Yadchem Hayom Hashem, Hiknu Shlemos L'Yadchem Hayom Shetiyena Muchanos L'Avdol B'Mekdasha. So he says, acquire for yourself a fullness, a perfection of your hands, because so that you be prepared to work in the Mekdash. Ki ish bivno v'achiv. Ki kol echad mihem kvar hukdash l'Hashem bivno b'inyan hamila sh'atisim b'midbar. Each one of you is really designated because of when you're a child, because of Mila, Uva Achiv, Baharigas Hayom, and also through the Hariga, the fact that Levim killed those who worship the Egel. Vilachin Milu Yadchem Betov Hachuna Vashlimu Hachanaschem Lashem Babodasa. So he's telling the Levim that they have to prepare themselves appropriately to take on the job of being Ovei Lashem in the Mikdash. And also be open to the accepting the bracha, which means that the Levim had to accept upon themselves to keep this covenant of the special covenant of the Levim. So the Levim were involved in teaching, and they had to accept their jobs there from this point onwards as being the Levim. So the question is, so I'm trying to bring this back to our parsha. Our parsha started with the idea that they had to be purified from, they had to be mitahir from being tamei meis, from killing all those who were involved in the Egel. But there's a much deeper connection, which is that the Egel itself and the fact that the Levim were involved in that was the very reason why the Levim were entitled to their position as Levim, and the Bechors who were involved in the Egel lost their status. So the question is what does that mean? Rashi means when he says that through the Hariga, through the killing of their brethren, they were being mechanich, they were being taught and instructed in the ways of serving Hashem and becoming Kohanim L'makom. So what is the concept? And why did the Bechors lose the position, the status, as a result of being involved in the Egel? So the first idea I just wanted to share with the Shir, the first concept, is this idea of chinuch l'makom. So what exactly was the perfection, the greatness of the Levim when they killed all those who were worshiping the Egel? So the Psukim say, and if you go back to Rabbeinu Bachya, he says, "Dehirgu ish es achiv ish es re'eu." So the greatness of the Levim in that moment was that they were able to kill those who they had relationships with, those who were their friends, their brethren. So they're even willing to kill those who they had personal relationships with, because their connection or the relationship to the will of Hashem was far greater than their personal relationships. So the idea of the Hariga being a chinuch for them as Ovdim Lamakom makes a lot of sense, because the primary responsibility of the Levi and the Kohen are really to Hashem. They're not really to any individual. The individual is always secondary to Hashem. And the Levium demonstrated that idea through the Hariga, their ability to place their primary relationship with Hashem over those who they had personal relationships with was really mechanic them, meaning it really instructed them and it initiated them into the idea of being a Kohen Lamakom. But on the other hand, the Bechor is the opposite. See, by the Egel, I don't think it was the fact that the Bechor just did the Egel, but also there was a clamoring on the part of Klal Yisrael to be involved in this Egel because of their fear and their attachment to Moshe, which was really inappropriate. But the Bechors were the opposite leaders, because the Bechors, they were influenced by the nation. They weren't able to remove themselves from the influence of the nation. So that's why I think that they lost their status as Levium. Not just because they were engaged in Avodah Zarah, but because they demonstrated a leadership, one whereby they were influenced by the people. And the Levi, the person who works in the Mikdash, cannot be influenced by the nation in their decision-making. They have to be influenced by following the will of God in the most primary sense. It's kind of like Shaul as Melech. So Shaul ended up, one of his flaws was that he was, by Amalek, he was influenced by the people. He never wanted to be a leader, but once he was a leader, he was influenced. He wasn't able to stand strong against the people. So it's the same thing by the Bechors and the Levim, that the Bechors lost their right to be Ovdim Lamakom because they demonstrated an allegiance to the people, and they were influenced in a negative way, in a flawed way, by the people. They weren't able to separate themselves from the will of the people. Whereas by the Levim demonstrated the opposite. Really, the Levim demonstrated that their primary focus, their primary relationship was God, and any personal relationship they were willing to destroy and overcome, because their relationship to Hashem was primary. So that is the very beginning of this process of the Levim actually taking on the status as Levim was tied to this concept, was tied to the concept of them deserving to be Levim by the fact that their relationship, their primary relationship, more so than any personal relationship, was with Hashem. So that's the idea. So the beginning of the process of making them Levim is that idea, is that concept, that the source of their status is their relationship to God. So that's why they have to be Metara at first, aside from the practical reasons. But part of the Tahara is an idea of teaching them that the importance of this concept of constantly being tied to Hashem over any individual personal relationship. Okay, does that make sense? Any questions? All right, fantastic. So the next thing I wanted to take up, I just want to share like three ideas in the share. So that was the first idea, but the second idea is tied to the shaving. So if you look, go back to Rabbeinu Bachya in source number 2, if you have the source sheets, and if not, it's fine. I'll just read it. But in the source number 2, 3 lines down, it says, "V'havir sar al kol b'saram." So one of portions of this process was that the Levim had to shave their bodies. Afilu hazaken, afilu apeos. So they even had to shave their beards and even their peos, even the peos on the side of their heads. So that's surprising. So hitinam tiglachas kemitzora shekasud bo digaleach es kol saaro es rosho vesukano beiska boseinov. So the requirement for the Levi to shave was similar to the requirement of the mitzora, that when the mitzora comes to the mikdash after he's mitahir, so he has to shave his whole body. So there's a relationship, there's a similarity there. And then it keeps going. It says lefisha levim hayu chalife habechoros shenifsalu be'egel. So then it says why? What's the connection between saras, the mitzora, and the idea of the levim? Because the levim were in place of the bechors who erred by the egel. Va'avodah zarah kruya zivchei mesim. Avodah Zarah, idolatry, is called in Tehillim Zivchei Mesim. It's called eating korbanos, sacrifices of the dead. And we'll explain what that means. A mitzora chashav kames, and a mitzora is considered like dead. V'ilu lo hayu mutarin be'inyan zeh shiskiru parsha lo yefshar lahem likanis la'avodah, v'chein kas besof achreichein yavo levim la'avodah solom oed. If they didn't do this process, they wouldn't be able to be oved. So they had to shave their bodies, And the reason they are shaving their bodies, the Rabbeinu Bachya is bringing down, is because there's a relationship or a connection between the Levium and the Mitzorah. Just like the Mitzorah had to shave his body when he became... purified and he brought his korbanos, so too the Levi had to shave his body. So the question is why? Why did the Levi have to shave his body? And also, what's the relationship between the chash of kemes of the Mitzorah and the idea of sivchei mesim? It seems like a very far-reaching type of analogy that we say that the Levi is like a Mitzorah, he has to shave his body in order, because the Mitzorah is like a mace and Avodah Zarah is like sivchei mesim. So what exactly is the relationship and connection between Mitzorah and the idea of the Levi when he first became a Levi, when he was first introduced into being a Levi? So the next point I want to make is the idea of shaving. So the question was, why does a Levi have to shave? So it's similar to the Mitzorah. So if we look in the parsha by the Mitzorah in source number 7, it says, "V'hayav," unless you think that I'm lying to you, "V'hayav yamashvi galeach es kol saro es rosho ve'zekano ve'es kavosinav ve'es kol saro yigalech v'chibes es begadav rachatz es besro b'mayim etaher." So the Mitzorah has to go through the same process as the Levi, in the sense that he has to shave his hair, and he has to shave his beard, and even eyebrows, and everything, all of his body. And afterwards, he goes to the mikvah, and he's tahor. So if you look in the Chinuch, so I think this is an important idea. The Chinuch explains the philosophy behind why the Mitzorah shaves himself. So look in source number 8. So the Chinuch says, "Mitzvahs teglachas mitzorah b'yom hashvi." What's the mitzvah? Why does the mitzorah have to shave his whole body? "Shigaleach hamitzorah es kol sa'aro v'hi hatahara hashniya k'mosha amr zichronam levracha b'negayim." It's the second tahara. "Shenamar v'ayah b'yom hashvi galeach es kol sa'aro v'amr zichronam levracha shlosha megalchin." There are three individuals who have to shave their whole bodies. "V'teglachdan mitzvah." And the shaving is a mitzvah. Who were they? A nazir. So when the nazir has to shave his whole body. Hamitzora, the mitzora, the halavim. Ulavim tzrichin teglachas kimitzora v'zehayah b'midbar. And the levim, this is in our parsha in Bamidbar in Baal Uscha. The levim had to shave their whole bodies like the mitzora. So we see that there's definitely a connection between the levim's process and the mitzora process. We'll see it again when we look at Rashi. What is the philosophy? Why did the Mitzorah, if we understand why the Mitzorah had to shave, maybe we'll understand the idea as to why the Levium had to shave in this process. So the Chinuch goes on. He says, "Misharshe mitzvah k'tzas min atam she'amarnu l'mala b'mayim." So he says it's somewhat similar to the reasoning above by water. "K'dei she'yireh ha'adam k'ilu hayom nivra." So a person is supposed to look at themselves as if today is the day of their birth. And your hair is starting to grow when you're first born. Some people have more hair than others when they're first born, but your hair starts to grow when you're first born. And by looking at yourself as a newborn, so it'll give you a motivation to change your life and to start anew. When a person is clean from all of his hair, he'll also clean himself from all of his dirtiness. That's why the Mitzorah has to do it. So that he cleans his actions with all of his might. And he has to change his actions from bad to good. So the philosophy that is that the Mitzorah, when he's becoming Tahor and he's out of his Saras, so the idea of shaving is the concept that when you shave your body, so it makes you feel like you're a newborn, like you're starting anew. And you're supposed to use that as a motivation to do tshuva. So once you clean your body of the hair, it's supposed to remind you or motivate you that you should clean yourself of your sins, and you should work on yourself and try to clean yourself of your sins. So the Mitzorah, it kind of makes sense because he was a Rasha, the person who got Saras. But what's the idea about the Levi? So perhaps this is the second point I wanted to make in this year. Perhaps there's another idea in this process that the Levi, why did the Levi have to shave his body? So maybe it's the same idea as the Metorah, in the sense that the Levi, he had to recognize that when he was, through this process, he was going to become a new person. This wasn't just like a minor change of status. It's not like he's going from one team to another team. But rather, the idea of the Levi is that it's a new chal Hashem, it's a new status within the person. And he's supposed to use, the Levi has to use this and recognize this in order to guide him towards the proper path. So the first step in making the Levi, is that the Levi view himself with a certain newness, in order that he recognize that this new status of being a Levi is not just a change. It's not just a minor change, a new hairstyle, but rather it's a fundamental change in the nature of who this person is, who the Levi was before this, and now who he is now. So the second point I wanted to make in the shir was this concept, that the second part of the process, aside from recognizing where it came from, the Levium status, is that the Levium have to come into this knowing and being aware that they're going to be a different person after this process, that they're not going to be the same person. And the way that this is expressed is through the same process as the Metzorah, that when the Metzorah brings his korbanos and he's finished with his taras, he too has to view himself as a new person and be motivated to guide himself on the right path. So to the Levi, so that's the idea of shaving himself. But then there's one other point that I wanted to bring up, which is the fact that what Rabbeinu Bachya said before, which was that the reason why there's a connection to the Metzorah is because the Metzorah is chashav kemeis, and the Metzorah is considered like a mace, and the Levium were supposed to be like that, and the Bechors, because they were involved in Zivchei Mesim, which is a reference to Avodah Zarah, therefore there was some idea there that had to be recognized. So what exactly is that connection between the Metzorah and the Levium? So if we look at the Medrash, and we'll see Rashi as well, the Medrash highlights, again, this relationship between the Levium in this process and the Metzorah. Look into source number 9, V'yikrafta es ha-Levium, k'shem sh'ne'amar b'Metzorah. You can't get more open than that. Just like it says by the Metzorah, V'amir ha-Kohen ha-Metzaher, kach tziva Moshe sh'yakrivu osam lifnei olamoy. Just like by the Metzorah, that the Metzorah is brought before the Mishkan, so too Moshe was commanded to bring the Levium before the Mishkan. V'hikal ta'as kol adas b'nei Yisrael, l'fisha yu ha-Levium kapar l'Yisrael, sh'ne'amar la'avo desavodas b'nei Yisrael, be'olamoy l'chaper al b'nei Yisrael. So why were the Jews collected there? Because the Levium were going to function as kapara, as an atonement for the Jewish people. Umisha yamakriv korbano hayamiviyu ba'olamoid, and whoever sacrifices their korban would bring it to the olamoid. L'chach tzivu sheyikalu kol adas b'nei Yisrael ba'olamoid. That's why all the Jewish people were brought to the olamoid. It seems like they're saying to bring the Levium kind of as a korban. And just like by a par helam davar, when the Sanhedrin makes a mistake and the Jewish people are involved in an iser avodah zara, there's a smicha of the zakenim. Kach tziva v'krafta es levim lifnei Hashem. So the same process is occurring by the levim. Ukeshem shneim are bekorban mitzora ve'nifosam tenufa. Kach tziva alevim ve'nif aron es alevim tenufa. Just like by the korban mitzora, it's waved. So too, the Levium themselves were waved. Tenufa zuah bnei kahashu nosim es aron shnemar ki avodas hakodesh aleim lechach nemar vayu laavodas avodas Hashem za aron. So another factor we see is that not only is a Levi like the Gavra of the Metzorah, in the sense that the Levi himself has to use the experience of shaving himself and shaving all of his hairs off to motivate him to do tshuva and to focus on his purpose, but the Levi has this duality throughout this process, and the Levi is almost like the korban of the Metzorah. So look in Rashi. Rashi says it openly in source number 10. He says, "Ve'nif aron es ha-Levium tenufa, kiderech she'asha Metzorah ta'on tenufa chai." Just like the asham of the Metzorah requires tenufa when it's alive. So the Levium are being compared to the korban of the Metzorah. So the Levium have a duality in this process. On the one hand, they themselves were being groomed for this status and this process of being a Levi, But on the other hand, they were the vehicle of Klal Yisrael, bringing about Kapara of Klal Yisrael, and they were almost like a korban. So in what sense were they like a korban? What exactly is the connection, again, with the Metzorah? And Rashi explains, it says, Shlosh Nufos Namru B'Parshazu. So as I mentioned when we were going through the Psukim, there are three times that it says that Aaron did Tanufa. And it's one is Harishon L'Bnei Kohas, L'chak Namar B'am Bayu La'avodus Abodas Hashem. The first one was the B'nei Kohas. They were the ones who took all the kalim inside, like the Aron. Lefisha avodas kadosh kadoshim aleim Aron v'ashulchan. Hashniel levnei Gershon lechach nemar b'am tenufa laHashem sh'af aleim haisa avodas kadosh yiruos ukrasim hanirim beveis kadosh kadoshim. The ashlishus levnei Merari. So there were three tenufos. One was kadosh, the second one was Gershon, and the third one was to the b'nei Merari. All different levim, all different families of levim. But what's interesting again is what is this idea that the Levi functioned both as an individual in this process and a korban in this process. So again, if you look in the Sif Seichel Chavim, he says the mitzora kari mace, kemosh namar risova parsha al nafsihi kamis. So the mitzora is like a mace, as it says later on by Miriam, that Miriam Aaron says to Moshe, do not let our sister be like a mace. The halavim nasnu kaparos al bechorim, the halavim were bringing or becoming a kapara for the bechorim sheavdu avodas elilim. Shehi kriya zivchei mesim. The bechors, they were involved in the egel, which is considered zivchei mesim. Lachach tzrichin halavim tnufa chai kmo ashem etora. V'gam iavshar tnufa b'levim el mechayim. So he says that that's why the levim were waved when they were alive, because that's what the asham of the metora is done to it. And furthermore, you can't kill the levim and do. Sifsei Chacham says they have to be alive. You can't just kill them and do a tnufa. So it had to be. But what is the idea? Can we explain the idea, this one last idea, of what the relationship is between the Mitzora and the Levi in this sense? And so what is the idea of the Mitzora Chashuv Kames? I think I gave a share on this a couple of weeks ago, that a Mitzora is Chashuv Kames. I think I gave one idea, but there's a different idea I wanted to express. And the Sifsei Chachamim is highlighting that the mace that it's referring to is the mace of Miriam. That's mentioned by Miriam. So look in source number 14. At the end of the Parsha, Miriam speaks Lashon Hara, famous, and it says, Al-Nasi Kames Asher Betzeson Mirechem Imo Vayachil Chatzi V'Sero. So Aaron pleads to Moshe, do not let our sister become like a dead person, where her flesh will eat her up. So what is that idea that the Mitzoros Chashuv Kames, and what's the relationship between the Misa, or the status of Misa of the Mitzorah, and the status of Misa of Avodah Zarah, and how can we tie it back to this process? So last point, and then we'll get to the Svara. So what is Zivchei Mesim? What's that idea? Look in source number 12. It says in Tehillim, Perek Kufav, Pasuk Chavches, Vayitzmedu Leval Pa'or, Vayochlu Zivchei Mesim. So they attached themselves, Klal Yisrael, to Baal Pa'or. That was Avodah Zarah in the time of Pinchas. Vayochlu Zivchei Mesim. I think it's referring to, the story of Pinchas. And they ate the Zevach, the Korban of Mesim. What does that mean? Look at the Radak there in source number 13. Vayitzmedu Kemosh Kasev, Vayitzamed Yisrael Leval Pa'or. It says there in Bamidbar later on that the Jewish people, they attached themselves to Baal Pa'or, which was in Avodah Zarah. Vayochlu Zivchei Mesim, Kemosh Kasev, Vatikrena, as it says, they called to the nation to the sacrifices of their gods, and their gods are the mesim, are dead. So what does it mean? This is the last point. What does it mean that Avodah Zarah is considered zivchei mesim, that the korbanos that you give to Avodah Zarah is considered zivchei mesim? The Radak says that the Avodah Zarah is a mace. It's like a dead entity, a dead individual. So what is that idea? What's the concept? And can we tie it to the Mitzorah and then ultimately back to the Bechors? So here we are. So what do we want to say? So I think that the concept of mace being used by the gods, the alternative gods, is that they're really, it's an idea of powerlessness. That when you're Mechayim, when you're alive, you have power, you have some type of strength. But when you're dead, so your powerlessness, you have no power, nothing's afraid of you. I think there's like a a famous Rashi or Medrash that says that when Og was killed, the mice nothing's afraid of the mice. The mice aren't afraid when a person's alive. The animals are afraid of the person who's alive. But even the most powerful person, once they're dead, the smallest animal isn't afraid to eat them up. They're not afraid of them anymore. So there's a certain powerlessness that's expressed by a mace. And the same idea is conveyed by the Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is a Zivchei Mesim, is the Zevach to a mace, to a powerless entity, to a powerless idol. So that's why it's called Zivchei Mesim. It's as if you're bringing a sacrifice to something that has nothing, that has no power at all, that is powerless. So I think maybe that's the idea by the Metzorah as well. When we say that Metzorah is Chashav Kames, maybe the idea of Chashav Kames, why is a person who's a Metzorah considered like a mace, like a dead person? In what sense? In the same sense, in the sense of powerlessness. Because, and the reason why the Sifsei Chachamim is quoting our story is by Miriam, that after Miriam got Tsaras, there was this fear that Klal Yisrael would move on without her, and there was a whole, over there, Moshe was mispalel, and the Ananim waited for her. But the point is that when you're a Metzora, you basically feel there's a certain feeling or sense of powerlessness in that situation. You can't really control the situation. If everyone leaves you behind, you're gone. So there's a powerlessness that exists in the status of the Metzora, and that's what it means, Chashav Kames. It means that the Metzora feels a certain, that sense of powerlessness, almost like a mace, like as if they have no strength, no ability to manifest any strength at all. So the idea, so maybe that's the idea over here by the Bechor. So the Levim are kind of like a korban in the sense that they brought kapara to Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael, when they were involved in the Egel, they gave power to an entity. The Egel was an entity that had nothing, that had no power. And the idea is that the Levim being shaved and being waved like the Metzorah was supposed to help the Bechors and help Klal Yisrael get Kapara. And how did it do that? By initiating the Tshuva process amongst Klal Yisrael. By teaching them and recognizing through the loss, at least by the Bechors specifically, through the loss of their ability to be Ovdei Hashem, that the reason for the loss and what was behind the loss was the fact that they gave this power where power didn't exist. So the idea of the connection between the Levi and the Metzora is not just that the Levi himself has to go through a purification process and do tshuva, but the Levi functioned as the korban of the Metzora. The Levi functioned vis-a-vis the Bechors as a means of helping them do tshuva. Just much like a korban, like you do smicha on a korban. Why was there an obligation to do smicha on korbanos? Because when you do smicha on korbanos, you're supposed to put all your weight on the korban, and the idea, the philosophical idea, is that you're connecting to the korban, you're using the korban, and you're identifying with it, and you're using it as part of the tshuva process in order to get kapara, which is recognizing that your demise is really what's deserved in the situation. So the Levim here, not only in this process were the individuals that were being transformed, but they themselves were the korban of Klal Yisrael. They themselves functioned as a means of creating this identification, this relationship to what happened, and was supposed to really ingrain in the minds of Bnei Yisrael, and especially in the Bechors, the concept of what their loss or what caused their loss, and how they attributed this this idea of life of Chaim to something that was mace, something that was lifeless. So I just wanted to conclude yeah, go ahead.
When the Bechorim put their hand on the Levim, it was after they were shaved, right?
That was the point. That's what I'm trying to say. Why did they have to be shaved before that happened? Because the whole idea was to remind or to initiate that idea of Metzora, the concept of being powerless that the Metzora experiences in a state of Tsaras. So the Bechor should identify with that concept. They should recognize and identify, and by them putting their hands on the Levim, I think one of the Rishonim said it was only the Bechors, not all of Klal Yisrael, but by them putting their hands on the Levim, it was similar to putting your hands on a Korban, that a Korban, this was more specific to the Levim, this idea of the Levim being their Korban was more specific to the Bechors, and that the Bechors could realize the source of their loss. So that's why I think what the connection is. So So let me just put everything together. Really, the Shir was about the process of transformation of the Levium to the Levi. The Levi that we know him now, to the Levium that we know now. And my question was, there seems to be a lot of different points in this process. It doesn't seem to be simple. It doesn't seem to be just like Moshe says, poof, you're now the Levium. But there's more detail, more nuance to it. So the question is, what's the nature of these nuances of this process? So I really wanted to take up three points in these psukim. One is the idea of shaving, that the idea of tahara. So why do they have to be tahara? Because they were tamei mace. When were they tamei mace? By the egel. And that was actually the point where the levium were zoche to becoming levium by the egel. So it seems funny that the beginning of the process is being mitar from that experience. So what is that idea? And what was the idea of why the Levium were Zocha then and the Bechors lost it? So the first concept was that the Levium were mechanech into the idea of being Levium through killing their brethren because they demonstrated that their relationship to God was primary and their relationship to their friends, their personal relationships were secondary to their relationship to God. So that's why they were Zocha. Whereas the Bechors, they were influenced by the people. And that's why they went along with the whole Egel process. So the Bechors lost their status as the Bechors because they failed to demonstrate that their primary relationship, their primary attachment was to God. Whereas the Levium did that, and that's what their chinuch into being a Levi was. Their chinuch was the process of Harigo, where they broke these personal relationships, they were able to overcome them for the will of God. The second idea that I wanted to express was the idea of shaving. Why did the Levium have to shave? So there's a comparison in the Medrash and also in the Chinuch explains it, the Gemara, that there's a comparison to Metzora. So we saw in the Chinuch that the Metzora shaves because when you shave all your hair, it's like you're a newborn. Like a newborn, you know, many newborns are born without hair and then their hair starts growing. So too, the Levi had to look at himself like the Metzora looked at himself. The Metzora was supposed to shave because when you look at yourself like a newborn, it gives you a motivation to do tshuva, to start anew. So too, the Levi had to experience that in this process. So when the process of them becoming Levium started, they had to recognize that this wasn't a hairstyle change, but this was a fundamental change. It's as if they're new people, they're new gavras, they're new individuals. And then the last point of the shir was the idea that the Levium function not only as individuals in the process, but also as a type of korban. And what do I mean by that? I mean that they function in the same way that korban brings kapara by reminding a person of their flaw and what they deserve in the situation through identification. The Levium were supposed to bring about a tshuva in the Bechors that they should realize. And the way that it was done was that the Levium were shaved and they looked like the Metzora. And the idea was to highlight that the Bechors really, they gave power to this powerless entity. And that's what Zivchei Mesim is, and that's what the Misa of the Metzora is. Part of the Misa of the Metzora is this sense of powerlessness that Miriam had at the end of the Parsha. So that was the way that the Levium functioned as a method of kapara, almost as a korban of sorts for the Bechors and for Klal Yisrael. So it's interesting that this process of them becoming Levium not only was one where they were acted on and they changed their status, but also they themselves functioned as a kapara, almost like a korban. And Rashi says it openly. They were like a korban of Mesorah. They were waved like a korban. So it's an interesting process of transformation. So I just wanted to conclude there.